We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Presented by Under Armour and $100 match with promo code LIGHTYEARS presented by Prize Picks. One more time, $100 match on your first deposit with promo code LIGHTYEARS. Welcome to LIGHTYEARS. Andy Liu, we are recording this after Warriors lose 123-111 to the Indiana Pacers. Feels like we saw it coming a mile away. Let's not lie about it. This team has shown us who they are for what? All year? 2 years. 2 years in a row, they've shown us who they are. And so, of course, you know, young team coming in who's matched up well with them, ran them off the floor. What's most frustrating about tonight's game was I feel like it's a microcosm, not just of why they are disappointing this year. It's a microcosm of every one of their issues the last 4 to 5 years. The two timeline plan, the staleness overall. They get cooked by Tyrese Halliburton. Tyrese Halliburton, who they liked, but they had to take Wiseman over him in the draft, looked every bit the superstar he is. I know he's been struggling for the last month or two, but I think everyone would agree he's a star caliber player. And Pascal Siakam. Siakam, it's not a commentary on how I feel about Kuminga, who had a rough game today, but I think has generally had a positive season, or Wiggins, who had another bad game today. It's the lack of urgency to want to get better or take any form of risk, and everything is doubling down on yourself versus looking in the mirror and realizing we might not have the answers internally. That's what it is. Siakam and Tyrese Halliburton were the two best players on the floor tonight. Could throw Steph in there, although he looked gassed halfway through the game and towards the end of the game. Steph, by the way, only player who can go for 25 and 10 and 5, and we're like, oh, he played poorly. But it just speaks to kind of his talent level, right? I would be mad, but I'm just kind of like, get me to July because I'm just tired of this team.
Okay. I agree with everything you said, but I feel like I want to, if I were the Warriors, if I were Kirk Lacob, or if I were Steve Kerr and I was sitting across from you on this podcast on a Friday night after that debacle, I would say you're right. The Warriors probably should have looked in the mirror and made some adjustments from who they are. But at the same time, they may have sold their souls for 2022, where they did double down on who they were, are, am, and it worked. For that one season. Now you look at the and then I'm kind of turning it back to myself. Fair. I think you look at the five seasons that the Warriors have had since Klay tore his ACL. The Warriors have won one championship, and then every other season has been the same season, right? Let's say you throw in the tanking season and say Steph didn't break his hand. That season would have just been this. What is the difference? There's no difference, right? And so. It's pretty funny because they have doubled and tripled down every season since that Klay moment at Oracle, one season it's worked, they've won a championship. So I think you can argue, you know, most teams, you know, would give everything they could to win a championship. Chris Paul, James Harden, right? Those guys, Damian Lillard, Russell Westbrook, and the Warriors. It feels like the last 5 years have been a failure. You know, when you talk about all these things, but I think they feel like because of that, that it's worth doing that. I don't know if I can argue too strongly against that if they were to say that. That's all. It doesn't help them because certainly it doesn't look good right now.
So you're not wrong. One championship in the last 5 years is better than all but four other teams. You know, four other teams won titles, maybe three because Denver might repeat. But the point is they did achieve the ultimate goal, and there's only a couple other teams who can say that. Every other season, I'd argue they've been a 44-win team. Last year, they won 44 games. This year, they're on pace to win about 44 games. There's no real difference other than last year, 44 got you the sixth seed, and this year, you're in the play-in. 3 years ago, they were in the play-in with a 39-33 team in the 72-game season, which, if you play the math out again, comes out to about a 44-win team. Kind of who they've been the whole time, but slightly above 500. They've been small the entire time. They haven't had a legitimate second option around Steph since Klay got injured. And since Klay's come back, bless him, but he's more one of the guys than a second option
sure.
at this point. It's been doubling and tripling down on Andrew Wiggins being that potential number two guy. He did it for 1 year, but every other year, it's been more Minnesota than 2022 to me is the exception. It's not the rule. And then it's been overinvestment in young players. And every year it's, well, you know, they're getting older. We have to go into the young guys. And I'm sitting here going, I can make a case. Steph was the best player in the NBA the last 5 years for the majority of it. And you spent every year worrying that it was going to fall out instead of going for it.
You can then, you know, if I want to kind of, and I do kind of want to take your side now moving forward, because it might be too late. It really might be too late for you now to go back and say, let's cash our chips in. So I don't want to be too kind of doom and gloom. It's just one season really feels like they are going to look at that 20 years from now, and Bob Myers is going to sit in front of a camera. On whatever, is it going to be HBO Max or is it going to be Prime or is it going to be Peacock that runs that documentary, Sam? But
they're a bidding war on it. That's all I know.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So that penultimate documentary that they run on the Warriors dynasty, they're going to sit across and say, hey, man, like, you know, those five seasons after KD left was rough. And maybe Warriors don't end up doing anything after that. But that one season, right, that and it was worth all the bad decisions that they made. You know, they make the Wiseman decision based on, okay, we want a big, we want someone athletic, we don't want to trade down, we just want to pick the high upside stuff, right?
We want the upside.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're like, okay, that's worth it. And they pick Kuminga, and who knows what happens with Kuminga. And it's like, we pick another guy like that, right? And so on and so forth. And Andrew Wiggins is going to get turned into a success story, which I think ultimately it is. They trade for him. It works out for that one season. Now they're going to end up probably trading him away. But looking back on that 20 years from now, it is probably going to be like, hey, we helped turn Wiggins. And so
he's not going to be remembered as a bust. And if he was in Minnesota, he would have. And, you know, you and I might say his career is disappointing relative to what he could have been. But that's not how he's going to be remembered. He's a sealed champion, you know? And to your point, I mean, Steph does look gassed. He does look old. He looks 36. I still think he's got it in him. But now management has to counteract the fact that he looks older. So any move that they potentially make in the offseason has to be with the idea that we don't know how many years he has left. We don't know if he could be the number one. You know, if we're going to trade for someone, they need to be under 30. They need to be a building block. And the next thing you know, it's like, well, if it's not Giannis, we're not doing it, you know, which has been the same calculus that's got them into this situation. You know what I mean? Where it's always like, oh, Siakam, I think, is actually the perfect example. Because Siakam's not a superstar.
Two examples, by the way, not just Siakam. There's another guy.
Fair. But go on. But I was on the trade front. Siakam's not a superstar, right? He's a damn good player, an all-star caliber player. He can help you win. But he's not foundation. If he's your best player, we saw what that looks like in Toronto, right? It's not good, right? So you're the Warriors. You're like, can't we just develop Kuminga and Wiggins to be just as good as him? Why don't we just do that?
You know, 5 years.
If we're gonna cash that all in, I want to know that for sure we're getting
sound like Lakeham.
A top 10 player. I mean, is this an inaccurate rendition of what the last 5 years have been?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I the other guy I argue would be Miles Turner, actually. Is the one that is another guy, not as good as Siakam, certainly not as good as Siakam, but Miles Turner would be a very good fit on the Warriors. Who knows how much they'd actually help him, right? But like that's kind of the point. Is that there have been a lot of guys that they could have taken a shot on. I mean, hell, they took a shot on Wiggins. Honestly, but that was more of a desperation. Yeah.
But that's they were given a pick to take Wiggins.
Yeah, you're right.
Whereas Miles Turner or Siakam would have been one of those situations where you're like, all right, we got to give some stuff up, but we're betting in our situation no one's gonna give a crap about what we gave up because it's gonna be so good.
Okay, how about this? I just thought of this. I love the Giants Warriors analogies lately. The Niners not working out so much. Niners are doing well. It's not working out.
They're stable.
They're stable, right? I'm liking the offseason and all that. But if you look at the Giants and you saw they signed a year of Blake Snell and then a year of Matt Chapman, and they gave up two draft picks and $1 million of international money. Which really, I don't know. People can argue whether that's worth it or not, but that is a risk for a team that might not even make the playoffs. But their backs are against the wall. Right, people don't give a shit about them. They haven't made the playoffs in 8 years.
I mean, they basically put LED lights. They're trying to turn it into a rave. Like they're desperate, man. They're desperate.
They are desperate. They are desperate. Their backs against the wall. They've probably been mandated by or something mandated to just say, hey, we gotta find a way to get people to come, and they do something like that. You could argue, and again, the 2022 championship is the greatest thing to happen. To this team, Steph's career, all of that, but that title does feel like and then the couple titles before that does feel like a, hey, our back's not against the wall. We're only going to do something that we want to do if it 100% is going to work out for us, because we talked about that. And they're just not in the desperation kind of thing. And are they going to be this offseason?
And I think that sucks. I think it sucks because and I always kind of. I think it's weird to have to make this point, but it's like, you're not going to see a better player than Steph Curry in a Warriors jersey in your lifetime. Hey, I'm sorry. It's not happening. And to play it cute because you want to be the smartest team in the room during his last good years, it just kind of sucks. It really does because, and I think Kuminga is going to be a hell of a player. I really do. I'm higher on him than you are. He had a bad night tonight. It happens, right? But I've been very positive about it. But there's no chance he'll ever be the best player on a contender. I'm willing to put my, like, and that, look, how many guys in the NBA, let me ask you this.
Three.
How many guys in the NBA who are on their rookie deals? So let's say Tyrese Halliburton's class and below, would you say I feel confident they could be first options on contenders when they grow up? We're not even confident. Right.
I was going to say, throw some names out. Anthony Edwards is, people are throwing that out there. You confident?
Anthony Edwards is one. Okay.
Shea.
Halliburton. Okay. Shea's older, but Halliburton's maybe two. I don't even know if I'd say that on Halliburton, but
yeah.
That draft would be Ant Edwards, Wiseman, LaMelo, Halliburton. That's probably it. There's not a lot of guys in that draft. Now then you get to Kuminga's class. Kuminga's class is Cade Cunningham, Şengün, Evan Mobley, Franz Wagner, Scotty Barnes. Every one of these players I think will be an all-star. I'm not convinced any of them are good enough to be the best player on a title.
No, team. No, no.
Stop. I could honestly, I might make the case Şengün has the best chance.
Okay.
And I'm not even, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think Scotty Barnes could be a Draymond Bam type of winning, like second, third option on a contending team, which is a great player. I would take down the Warriors right now. Not going to be the best player on a title team. You know what I'm saying? It's not. And then you get into the following draft. Okay, maybe Chet. What about Paolo Banchero? Probably not. And then you get into the following one, Wembanyama. I mean, if he isn't, it's just a disappointment at this point. And the overarching point I'm trying to make here is it's so rare that any player develops to be that good. It's hard enough to find a Klay Thompson or a Draymond Green. It's impossible to find a Steph Curry. So when you have one, that should be your priority instead of just constantly wanting to be like, we're going to recreate it and do this sort of thing. And so I don't know. It's sticking in my mind more because the two players who killed them on the Pacers more than anyone tonight, one was a guy that we've relitigated in the draft 100 times. And the other is a guy that we've done at least 50 episodes about trading about. Actually, two guys that we've done 50 episodes about trading about. So it's running in my mind more than normal.
And the Pacers, you know, to talk about the game for a couple seconds, for those that didn't watch it, the game went exactly how you thought the game went. The Warriors.
You've seen it even if you didn't watch it.
Yeah, you've seen it a million times. They went up a little bit. The Pacers caught up. The Pacers are a terrible defensive team, but somehow they locked the Warriors down as the Warriors turned the ball over in the second half. Same old stuff. It's interesting to me because it's not like the Pacers are this great team, but they make sense. They make sense. And they're a young team, right? And I do think you watch games like this. They have a lot of guys, especially with Miles Turner and Pascal Siakam. They are in their prime 20 years. And those are players that are winning players. I know people have different things to say about Miles Turner, but I think he's a winning player. I think you put him on a team, he's good. He does more good things than he does bad teams. Same thing for Pascal Siakam, obviously, for Haliburton. And the Warriors don't have enough of those guys, right? They just don't have it. It's one or the other. It's one or the other, or it's Andrew Wiggins. And we talk about this every time. And that's the part that's where you're saying doubling down. It's just hard doubling down on, even though Chris Paul's been great, he just can't play defense anymore. And is that his fault? Not really. He's 40. You know what I'm saying? It's 40. Yeah, but Jemski,
enough for two more months. Actually, six weeks.
Actually, I thought he was like 38. Okay, but and then you got Pods on the other side, right? And it's like, okay, Pods, does he make a couple of those layups? Does he defend a little better? Yeah, he does. 3 years from now. Honestly, same thing with Kuminga, right? 4 years from now. He might be the one being Siakam, you know, kind of just being a super reliable, just give me the ball in the post. I'm making the right play, passing, scoring every time. And the Warriors got to live with these young player mistakes and while trying to win. Just, you know, it's hard.
Yeah. I really like Kuminga and I really like Pajemski as players. And it's just the overarching, like, pick a lane. Because when you don't pick a lane, you kind of end up in the middle lane, which is kind of where they've been for four of the 5 years. You know, they're not bad, but they're not particularly good. They make young player mistakes. They have veterans kind of not having enough going on.
So that 1 year, if we go back, they didn't actually pick a lane that year, but they caught lightning in a bottle that I think just doesn't normally happen, right? Because you got to remember, Klay was coming off injury that season, and he looked amazing. And Poole took a crazy leap. You know, we thought he was going to be better than CJ McCollum, and that's certainly not been the case. And Kuminga sat on the bench. Wiseman sat on the bench. Otto Porter played like a $28 million player. And then, of course, Andrew Wiggins became like this.
He lived up to what people thought he would be in his prime. Yeah.
So lightning in a bottle. Lightning in a bottle that season, really. And I, you know, you don't. Where did lightning in a bottle even come from? But you don't do that more than once, though.
I've never questioned the expression, but it's a fair point. No. But we all know what it means. It honestly is like that year is like a baseball team who you know wasn't good enough, but just got hot as hell at the right time. Because that's kind of what they were, right?
Giants did it three times. Which is honestly, so they caught lightning in a bottle 3 times, 5 years. But it's like they were never the best team. Not to say though, the Warriors were, I would say, the best team that year. It's just now that you look back on it, it's just like how.
But there are similarities because if I was to be honest about those Giants teams, they had elite players, but they did not have an elite team. And then guys who were not kind of elite players randomly came up big.
Randomly.
Like they had the pitching and Buster Posey, which is a foundation to win. But then fucking Cody Ross out of nowhere, like that's like the Andrew Wiggins thing right there.
Yeah.
You know? Where you're just like, this is not a sustainable thing. Cody Ross
and Andrew Wiggins.
I think Cody Ross might have made more All-Star teams.
NBA comp for that title? Like the Dallas Mavericks beating the Heat. That's like a comp for the Warriors title, something like
that. That's actually probably the best comp for the Warriors title because we thought it was like the beginning of a second chapter, but reality it was a bunch of stuff coming together in a unlikely way, and then they decide to go a different direction and never goes back.
Yeah. I like talking about 2022 though. I don't mind it.
I mean, I don't need to talk about tonight's game. As we've said, we've all seen tonight's game a million fucking times. So, you know what I do like talking about though?
Yes, sir.
I like talking about my plays on Prize Picks. I can count on Steph to cover the over. I decided, look, man, who can I count on to cover in March? Steph Curry and Caitlin Clark. They're gonna put them up. And Steph, you know what? I got a very close cover. Hit 25. I got him at 24.5, but I'll take it. Now Caitlin Clark hasn't played. I'm playing her in Saturday's lineup, but Prize Picks gave us the promo code to get her at 0.5 point instead of 31.5. I feel pretty confident she's gonna cover that. Yeah. So I'm about to get a 3-to-1 payout on that. Gotta enjoy it.
This is easy money right here. You can win up to 100x your money. You're going to win 3x your money on Prize Picks, right? Promo code LIGHTYEARS, $100 match on your first deposit. Man, I can't wait. I'm going to be watching tomorrow. Locked in.
I will be locked in. Should we talk tournament for a second?
Yes, before we get back to the games here? Yes, please.
How are you enjoying the tournament?
You know, I used to be a big college hoops fan. I'm not so much anymore. But March Madness has a way to
bring
vibes, doesn't it? Just the vibes are special.
I will say I've been less into men's college basketball this year than other years. I can't really point it to anything other than life's been super busy. Obviously, Warriors are a priority over college basketball, and no one really compelled me to watch. But it doesn't matter, man. When the tournament starts, you get into it. You start reading up on all these teams. And just they play so hard, like it means something. It's you can't like, so, yeah, it's college hoops. They don't shoot it as well as NBA players, or particularly NBA players against the Warriors. But man, if you like competition, it's fucking fun to watch.
You don't normally see, and this is, you know, we go back to the NBA on this a lot. Mm-hmm. College basketball players, you know, most of them don't end up playing in the NBA. Most of them don't.
Sure.
You know, it feels like every year we watch an Ivy League school beat a top seed team. And who's that kid? Gokey, 10 threes the other night, and he beat Kentucky. That kid's not going to be – actually, he's not even a kid. He's like 25 years old. But, like, he's not going to be playing anywhere, most likely, for a long time. Like, he's going to end up being – you know, the joke is these guys end up being accountants or somewhere. It's true. They end up in sales, right? They end up being consultants. And just – watching players play so hard for that moment is cool because I think we do miss that in the NBA unless it's the NBA finals. And even last year we watched the NBA finals and after they win the championship and Jokic is kind of like, oh, I don't care. And it's like, dude, fuck off. Like, we know you care. Stop acting like you're too cool for it. Right. And these kids are not too cool for it. Everybody cares. So that it's the best part of this. Now, I think Sam, for the play style, I actually think it's changed so much. You know, we used to watch. So I was watching LSU women's basketball, and every possession you see, they have two big women. One of them is Angel Reese, and every possession they're like posting up. They're like posting up, put a hand up, and I'm watching. And I flip back to a NCAA men's game, and you don't see any of that. It's completely different basketball. Do you like that? Like, do you enjoy that more? Or I think it's fascinating that it's kind of the NBA-ish version of the game now in college.
I think, you know, I'm going to tie it back to the Warriors because you mentioned Jack Gehlke, who, you know, obviously was the story of
amazing
day one of the men's tournament, just cooked Kentucky. I was a little bummed because I was kind of wanted to, not that I'm a Kentucky fan. I wanted to watch some of their players play a little longer. Right.
Yeah.
Sorry. Nothing, but I didn't mind watching the game. It was cool to see Oakland University and everything that happened there. I'm pulling up his shot chart right now. The dude took 7 shots inside of the 3-point line all season. 347 of his total shots were threes. You watch that game. He didn't even, it wasn't like Steph hunting a three, but taking a layup. It was like, no, three. That's it. That's all I do. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say, this is all Steph's impact. It really is. It's really all Steph Curry. I've watched college for an incredibly long time. They didn't play like this 15 years ago. And now it's, and this is probably why you're seeing more upsets. A lot of teams who aren't as big don't have the athletes that, you know, a Kentucky has, an Arizona has, name your, you know, Duke has, like name your blue blood program. But they got some 6'4 guys who can shoot the ball and they're willing to play hard, set screens. You know what? Single elimination, guy gets hot. That's scary. It's scary because if you can't defend him and he's getting off, three's more than two, you know?
Yeah, that's always been the, we could go all the way back. You want to talk about Steph and the Warriors. You go all the way back on Stephon Davidson. And that was kind of obviously the beginning of it all. But Davidson had a chance against these teams because Steph was an elite 3-point shooter. And that was before people were like, oh my God, you can shoot threes and you can just blow people away by being the greatest 3-point shooter of all time. So, you know, we're watching, you know, we talk about Prize Picks and all this stuff. And we're watching some of these 11 seeds be favorites against 4 seeds. We're watching some of these 11 seeds. I think there was an 11 seed tonight or 13 seed that beat Wisconsin. Like, they beat them handily. And then I think Clemson was an underdog. Clemson ended up winning by 20. I think they were like a 5 seed, but they were an underdog. And so like that stuff is crazy to me that I think we're just going to see more and more upsets. But where the league is going, I think it is more fun to watch. It's more drive and kick. It's less like bulky big men, although it feels like maybe the best team in the nation has that big guy. ED or whatever, like he's gonna be the NBA maybe. But it's kind of,
but cool does to see it is more like, all right, if you have a big, try to space around him, try to, you know, same principles you see with NBA teams, same principles you see at every level. It just seems like there's more of a focus on spacing, shooting, all that sort of stuff.
Well, we talked about, I mean, we only touched on it briefly, but Caitlin Clark is essentially the woman's version of Steph Curry. Isn't she?
Yes.
And is she the most popular women's basketball player?
She might be the most popular basketball player on any level at this point. You know, like I think there's a wow factor with her. And let's be honest, it's because people have never seen a women's player shoot like that before and do some of the things she's doing, right? So it's just kind of, yeah. I do think she's the biggest star in the tournament, men's or women's, and potentially the biggest star in basketball, just because same reason you're watching and I'm watching. Oh, I got to see this. I got to see if she can go for 60. I got to see if she can beat a team with 4 players who are, you know, going to go pro when she doesn't have those teammates because she can shoot it from 40 on them. It does feel like the Steph thing.
It also allows the Steph and now Caitlin Clark thing does allow different types of players to become real players. I'm watching this Nebraska player. He's Japanese. I'm going to butcher his name, but KC Tomagachi, but like, or something. I butchered it. But but the reason he can play Tomanaga, thank you from the comments. I'm Asian, so I can do it. The reason why he can play college basketball at this level is because of Steph Curry.
Sure.
10 years ago, is he playing? Is he playing in college basketball? No shot. No shot. Half these dudes that I'm watching are able to play out there because of Steph. There's no way. There's no way a guy that's 6 feet tall shooting threes. I mean, he can't defend a lick, but like, it's just the value of shooting off the bounce, shooting off a screen. Like, it used to be like, oh my God, JJ Redick. But you got to remember, JJ Redick was shooting a lot of mid-range jump shots, a lot at Duke, a lot.
And he wasn't handling, the ball. Just because it was like forbidden. It's like, if you're a shooter, you're coming off of screens only, no dribbling, you know? So, yeah, like now it's like, okay, if you can really cook off the bounce from deep, we're going to put you in a high ball screen because it's going to put pressure on the other team's defense. It just is. Like, it's it's scary to guard. And if you get hot, like, yeah, you know, you can put up 20 points in 5 minutes. And then next thing you know, a better team is tight. They're like, oh God, I don't want to lose to this mid-major. What's going on? You know, it is like the ultimate equalizer, right? So
it's just, I think it's cool. I think it makes basketball a thing that everybody can dream about. It's hard to dream about being Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'll be honest with you. It's hard to be the Greek freak when you're just a normal dude that lives in Texas, yeah, Minnesota, Bay Area, whatever, right? But anybody theoretically can be, you know, Caitlin Clark. Anybody can shoot a 35-footer. They can.
Yeah.
You know,
You going to put in the work, and do you have the kind of touch to be good at it? It's a different story, but it's more achievable than like, I'm going to get leg implants and go from 6'1 to 6'11. You know,
you could do that now. You know, you could do that now. Not sure if that helps you in basketball. Light Years Podcast. All season, we have been brought to you by Under Armour. Steph Curry makes you believe you can do anything. And the Curry 11s are specifically designed with ultimate bounce grip and stability to allow everyone to do their thing. New generations of ball players are coming up, showing the basketball world that the old rules do not apply. The future is exciting, fast, positive, and hungry. This NBA season, rock with your favorite player, rep his shoes on off the court. The Curry 11s are perfect for both the committed and casual ballers. The UA Warp Tech makes the shoe feel like it was designed for your feet, locked in no matter what you do on the court. Stop in your tracks with dual density UA flow, cushioning in traction, and emergency brake you don't even notice. Steph's 11th signature shoe steps into the second decade of a sneaker career, pulling colorway inspiration from the wonders of a positive and modernized future. On and off the court, take these kicks with you when you leave the scrimmage and rep UA wherever you go. Do your thing, change the game. The Curry 11 Future Curry. It's available now at currybrand.com. And we, the Light Years Podcast, are brought to you by Game Time. Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. Warriors are going to go on a road trip here, but they will be back. You will get more chances to watch Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and the rest of the ensemble. See the view from your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. All-in prices, show your total up front, so you know you're getting a great deal before you check out. Buy tickets in seconds with two taps. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the start of the event and even an hour after it starts. It's the place to find last-minute seats, find exclusive flash deals, and sponsor deals on tickets for basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. With zone deals, you pick the section, and Game Time picks the seats for big-time savings. So download the Game Time app, create an account, use Light Years for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem code LIGHTYEARS for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Nice, nice. All right, we got some goons to get to. Let's get to it. I'm going to lead off with Ken. Ken brings the positivity. More than the positivity, Ken brings the vibes. I'm pro Ken vibes. Oh, there we go. How's it going, Ken?
Hey, thank you for the compliment. Hard to keep the vibes positive tonight, but I think you guys are on the right track. Just NCAA tourney, men's and women's, that's the place. Because let's just stick with that. That's where the positive vibes are right now. You know,
where's your money? Who do you have winning the whole thing, or what are you watching for? What's exciting about the tournament?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to have to get into it because I can no longer watch the Warriors.
Fair enough.
I mean,
let me ask you this, Ken. What would you consider successful for the Warriors the rest of the way out? They're obviously not winning a championship this year. They might not make the playoffs at this stage. What would you, on March 22nd, with the idea that we want them to reshape the roster in the offseason, what would you consider a positive way to close out the year?
All right. I'm glad you asked me that question. So if you think about the math of an NBA basketball game, mm-hmm. what's the average payroll? $150 million per team, something like that. So yeah. It probably costs $4 million to put on an NBA game. Every game. Between the two teams shelling out money for ushers and refs and players, okay. $4 million. And with that, you get the opportunity to evaluate 240 NBA minutes. Okay. There's nothing else like it. Nothing else compares to sure. that film. So what a guy does in the G League doesn't count. What a guy does at practice doesn't count. At a shoot around, none of that counts. So now is your chance to see what people can do. And I've written off this season for the Warriors, but I would love to see who exactly can trace cover on the perimeter the rest of this year. I'd like to see Kevon shoot from outside. You know, I think they should just shut Draymond down. You know, they got him for 3 more years. They don't need to wear his back out for the next 10 games. You know, what can Gui Santos do? What can Lester Quiñones do?
You're ready to empty the bench. You're ready to just be like, screw it. We are at game 70, which will be on Sunday. Might as well see what we have. Let's see what we have and then do better next season.
Absolutely. Sign Deion Waiters on a 10-day contract.
Oh, my goodness.
No, I'm serious. Couldn't we have used him off the bench a few times this year? Someone that can actually get a bucket?
Could use a lot of players, to be fair. But yeah, I don't know.
But remember when Gary Payton joined the team just at the very end of the year before they won the championship?
Okay. Yeah, I see where you're going with this.
They found a guy that was critical the following year.
Okay. So that's a good call out because like it didn't feel like it mattered in the moment, but it ended up mattering 6 months later.
Right. And these contracts are tricky. If you get that guy on your team, even with just one day to go in the season, then mm-hmm. a year or two from now, you've got their early bird rights when you start getting sure. constricted on how you can use a guy. So if you found a guy at the end of the season, a year from now, 2 years from now, that can be really helpful that you now had sure. them on the roster.
Appreciate it, Ken.
For sure. See you later, guys.
It's a fair call out. I mean, let's see if they can find someone. Pat Spencer gonna save the season next year. Let's go.
He likes Gui Santos. I'm a fan. I think you give these guys a shot. Just let them go. Let them go make the playoffs or the play in and see what happens. I don't know.
Veritas, what's up?
They have a whole offseason arrest coming.
Yeah, I think for me it would be let's see if Steve Kerr can play 5 guards at the same time.
Yes. yes. Pat Spencer 7 minutes. Yes.
Pat Spencer at the five. If Pat Spencer is playing, Curry's are going to be off the ball for Spencer. So, but anyway, I just wanted to say, first of all, watching on the East Coast sucks. Honestly, I've been here like 4 days. I've watched 3 games, all starting at 10 o'clock, and like I've lost 2-1. I have no idea how Mikus or other
college. Watching that third quarter past midnight and how angry I would get. For me, it was like 8:39. I was angry.
Yeah, honestly, I'm afraid like some of my apartment neighbors might start complaining because I yell at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. the night at the screen. So, but okay, the other thing is, I was just thinking this, but in the last 2 years, I have been through, I know a lot of Warriors fans probably also have been through, and Andy was talking about that, the 5 stages of grief, starting with denial, where after they have won the championship and then they traded away Porter and they went into this youth movement with the 2 timeline. I was like, oh yeah, the 2 timeline is going to work. Just worked last year. So that's denial. Anger was when Steve Kerr was playing Kuminga, Anthony Lamb instead of Kuminga. Bargaining was when they traded for Chris Paul and were like, Chris Paul is going to save us. And we all thought that, hey, he's going to get the second unit and like play much better than Poole and whatnot. Sure. Depression has been there for the entire 2 years, or more or less most of it. And I think now I'm at the stage of acceptance, just like Andy is at. Where basically I'm like, yeah, I think this is what they signed up for. And that's not just the front office. I think like this roster isn't much different than what Steve Kerr would have wanted or what Curry would have wanted. So, and yeah. 2 months ago, Sam, you were talking about Steve Kerr not making it past this season. Clay maybe not being on the roster past this season. And those are the kind of hard decisions that we would have to make if we want to see Curry contend again going forward. And like, I mean, I have accepted that they don't want to make those hard decisions, so might as well just enjoy the remaining part of Curry's career. So, sorry for the doom and gloom, but yeah, that's what it's probably just the 1 a.m. in the morning talking. Yeah,
enjoy.
I mean, enjoy New York. Get out there. I can't argue. Yeah, go enjoy New York. And all I can say is I can't argue with you.
Yeah,
this round you've won.
I think Paritosh, the point about this team is. What Steph wants. I don't, it's hard to argue against that. Like, Steph wanted Chris Paul. I don't think these things were put on Steph. I don't think they were like, Steph.
Do you think Steph wants Andrew Wiggins?
What's that?
Do you think Steph wants Andrew Wiggins?
I don't know. I'm sure he's tired of the, of this season. Of Andrew Wiggins, I'm sure he is. I think a lot of the Warriors are, which is why people get really angry at us sometimes of like the Wiggins stuff. It just means
we matter.
So you do know these guys are, you know, my buddy doesn't watch much hoops, and he was here. We went golfing, and he came over. He's like, I'm watching Warriors game. He didn't watch basketball. He's like, why do you guys always making fun of Wiggins? Is he better than Harrison Barnes? Like, didn't he win a championship? And I'm just like, yeah, he did win a championship, but you got to understand, like he hasn't shown up in a season and a half. Like, yes, he's always going to be a legend, but there's something, like, the guy has not shown up. You think the players are just happy? what are we talking about here? Like, you think Steph is sitting here like a fucking social media war and going like, Warrior and going like, oh yeah, he doesn't need to tell us anything. He can show up whenever he wants. Fuck
off. Meanwhile, you get mugged by 4 dudes on a screen. Because he has a right to not do it.
Yeah, of course. On, of course.
Anyway, let's keep moving.
Patchy, almost up, baby. All right, we'll go to the
back. Apparently, we're all old men, apparently. It's like, we don't know how to use a phone. We don't know how to use a screen. We don't know how to use fucking lineups correctly. And we don't know how to win at home. It's just a perfect encapsulation of this fucking season, bro. Unbelievable. You know what? The only good thing about this week is I'm going to Vegas. That's about
it. Hey, what you doing in Vegas?
Apparently, I'm going to study different types of businesses. So, you know, it is what it is.
Not as fun.
Not as fun.
Unless they're businesses of the club variety, then that's fun.
Probably. I might look into that.
Yeah.
What you got for us, Asha?
So at this point, I'm just kind of at the point of saying, like, is Moody's knee cooked this year? Because what is going on? Because that man has been only getting, like, 5 minutes every game at this point. And it's like, okay, it's like, oh, I understand that some people always like to confuse the Anthony Lamb and Joku minutes when it was actually Anthony Lamb and Moody's situation from last year. And so it's now it got to the point where Moody can only play like 5 minutes. So I don't know if it's like his knee is cooked and they're just like waiting to the offseason for him to get traded to the Heat inevitably or something else entirely. So I don't know what's going on, man.
He's not hitting shots.
He can't hit a court of three. I get that for sure, but it's like it's so frustrating, man.
It is because I can't because his shot looks good. I truly believe he can shoot the ball, but also just to be clear, since the All-Star break, he's shooting 30% from three on a not small volume. So it's just like one of those things where it's like, maybe it is just as simple as like, man, he needs to just hit some shots and he'll stay on the floor a little more because he's not a guy that you're going to run offense through like dribbling that sort of thing. He's kind of got to be a 3-and-D guy a little bit.
Yeah, and I think, unfortunately, I think the main thing that a lot of people don't understand is you have to take minutes from Kerr. You have to force minutes out of Kerr. It's like, that's what Draymond did, and to a lesser extent, what Joku did later on mm-hmm. this year. So but unfortunately, if you're going to be like about a replacement level bench player, then I don't see really the point of being all that mad at that you're not getting as many minutes as you think that you deserve. Personally, it's not a good fit. It's definitely the roster's ass, but it's also you don't really play all that well next to some of the guys that are on the roster right now. So you probably just need a new probably needs to fix that hairline, by the way. My God, Moody. Love you, but oh man, just shave off that whole head, man.
Well, it worked for a Kuminga. So
it did work for Kuminga.
It might be the move.
All right. Appreciate you, Tasha.
Enjoy Vegas. Evening.
All right, we're gonna give our guy another shot here. Promised him.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Presented by it. No, okay. So my thing is, all right, next year, like what are they gonna do? Like, you're gonna re-sign Clink, and then you're gonna use the mid-level exception, let Paul walk, and you're going into the season with Clink, and just using a mid-level guy. Like, come on now. If he gets out of the tax altogether, they are totally cooked. And I miss Jordan Poole. We would have a much better record if they still had Jordan Poole. Appreciate it, guys.
I can't argue the Poole stuff, although he's not having a good season in DC. I will say this on the cap stuff. If all they do is re-sign Clay and then open up the mid-level to get like someone who's of the caliber of Dante DiVincenzo, who's like a mid-level player, then yes, they're going to suck next year. They do have the ability to maybe trade Chris Paul or trade Andrew Wiggins, trade picks, do certain things to reshape the roster. And honestly, that's the only way they're going to be competitive next year.
That is the one.
Because it's to his point, it's not coming from bringing Clay back and signing a mid-level player.
No, it's packaging, and honestly, the tough decision this offseason is going to be, are they willing to package Kuminga for anything? And they're saying that they won't. But it's an easy, not an easy, but it's like a good starting package to go. All right, Wiggins contract, right? Kuminga as the up-and-coming player, first round pick. Like, okay, what does that get you out there? I have no idea. I'm just saying that's the package if you're talking about, or Chris Paul, sorry, Chris Paul's contract, where they opt into that. They use that contract, then becomes an expiring, right? Don't come in there, first round pick. What does that get you?
Or you throw more picks on the table. That's the other thing. Like, there's
2046 unprotected.
Sure. Yeah. Exactly. Like, are you willing to, because to play it fair, they have been hamstrung cap wise the last couple of years. Now they're less. They have a little more flexibility in terms of taking on money, in terms of getting a little more creative with it, but they are still going to have to give up something. They are going to have to give up a 2032 pick or something like that, where you're like, you know, we're going to bet that this makes us good. So we'll see. We'll see where they go with it. But yeah, appreciate you, man. One thing before we get out of here, Andy.
Uh-oh.
Only because this is too funny.
What happened there?
Oh, man. Oh, Tony. He's talking to me. I talk back. I called him a TikToker. Yeah, I got a tech.
That was the last one?
No, the first one. I just said TikToker. Gave me a tech.
Was there?
Second one, I just said, that's too much power. You know what I mean? Gave me another tech.
TikToker meaning?
He's just lurking.
He's the judge, the jury, and all that.
You know what? He's not the player they needed in terms of being a 5'11", 30, 38, soon to be 39-year-old guard. But I do appreciate him.
Chris Paul has quietly been one of the better parts of this Warriors season, Sam. Like, if it's nothing we're going to take away from the season, it is that Chris Paul.
Solid dude.
Yeah, man. He really. Look, man, it was very easy to hate him. I actually don't anymore. I'm enjoying Chris Paul, man. I'm comfortable with his minutes. But this is funny. It's been going on all season. It feels like he's been going after refs, and refs have been going after him all season. You know, he's in that don't give a fuck stage of his career. Like, he's not like Draymond, where he just, you know, he's like out of control. He just doesn't. And this happened at the end of the game, right? Because I turned the game off with like a minute left, so I missed this. So he must have got ejected when the game didn't matter. So like, this doesn't matter. But it's
when I was going to say, when he was walking off the court, like untucking his jersey because he got ejected, I'm like, all right, time to go set up for the pod.
No, I did it earlier than you. Minute and a half, they were down 7. They missed like 4 shots with Noah.
It might have been a 1 possession difference, to be honest.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go grab some water and go look at this rundown. But no, Chris Paul has been – what is a TikToker? What did he mean by that?
Look at his Instagram. He posted some video of, you know,
like Tony Brothers' Instagram. Tony Brothers' TikTok.
Yeah, here, I'll pull it up real quick. We might as well finish out the segment. So else to do. Just gonna get mad online. let's see real quick. There we go.
That's the majority of NBA players nowadays anyway.
I'm the judge, the jury, prosecuting attorney, defense attorney, everybody.
Right. Kind of came full circle.
Absolutely.
So that's
I didn't realize he had a TikTok account like this, but
okay. So he's everything makes sense now. Everything makes sense now. I think do we like, maybe we'll go one more on NBA refs. Do we like the vet refs where they don't take no shit, but they're a little bit over commanding, not a little bit, a lot of it? Or do we like the young refs that are kind of seem overwhelmed by the game and they sometimes don't really know what they're doing? Which one do we like? Feels like the Warriors. Is it? Do we like two timelines of NBA refs? I feel like we're not getting good refs, man. What happened to refs Cody Crawford? What happened?
I'm gonna be washed like the Warriors and say I prefer the old ones, because at least I know what I'm getting with Tony Brothers, with Scott Foster.
Scott Foster,
you know, maybe some mob ties, but I appreciate it. The younger ones just annoy me. The younger ones just remind me of, you know, it's a foul.
Yeah,
so relax, bro. Relax.
I can't. The Asian ref. There's an Asian ref. I think he's Korean. He like just started and he reffed a couple of Warriors games. And I remember specifically thinking to myself, yo, this dude is fucking awful. What is happening? I've never seen him.
No flow.
No flow. Yep. Calling everything to a T. I'm sure he's good on paper at his job, but it's like, bro, have you ever played basketball or something? Can you just
all the young refs ref like a dude who's on probation and they're like afraid to make a mistake? Whereas like you know, like Scott Foster and Tony Brothers can be annoying, but they got tenure. They're like, I'm gonna call the game. I want to call the way I want to call the game. And you know what? Push come to shove, I'd rather have that than the
one. I'm with you. The chat is with us too. Chat is asking for AI refs, which I think we'll get there. AI umps. AI umps is coming to baseball.
I don't want that either. It takes too much of the joy out of the game. You know, I like the human element. Yeah. I don't need what we had with the Laker game 2 weeks ago with like tech malfunctioning and it taking 45 minutes to close out a game, because that's what's going to happen.
That is true. We did see in March Madness. Who got robbed? Somebody got robbed. Samford. Yeah. Samford got robbed off a review that should have happened. So I don't know. Refs can't win, honestly, most of the time. But I don't know. I can't stand all refs anyway. I'm sure most people don't. But hard job.
That's true. All right, bro. Appreciate you.
All right, y'all.